Hello, and welcome to the live Making the Case for Digital Printing, Evaluating Total Cost of Book Production versus Per Unit Cost, presented by Book Business and Printing Impressions Magazine. I'm Matt Steinmetz, publisher of Book Business Magazine, and I'm the moderator for today's event. But before we get started, I wanted to just briefly introduce the topic we'll be diving into over the course of the next hour. The art of book manufacturing is alive and well, but it's worth acknowledging that there is room for improvement in terms of cost reductions. Short runs are more frequent, and economies of scale are shrinking, which makes it increasingly difficult to reduce cost using existing infrastructure and equipment. Consequently, it's in the best interest of publishers and book manufacturers alike to adopt new business models, ones that do include digital printing. And the more that publishers know about the deficiencies and the opportunity cost of the legacy book manufacturing model, the more pressure they can put on book manufacturers to change their infrastructure and their equipment. So over the next hour, we're going to explore the highlights of these trends, including a brief overview of the digital book printing market in 2015, some of the inefficiencies of the value chain of publishing and book printing, emerging trends and new technologies that will be impacting the market, and the implications of soon-to-be lower-cost digital printing equipment. It's worth noting that this is part one of a three-part webinar series leading up to the only live in-person industry event on digital book printing, which will be hosted by Book Business and Printing Impressions on October 27th in New York City. Please be on the lookout for more information on the Digital Book Printing Conference soon, including special offers for attendees to today's webinar to join us for this industry-leading event at a discount. Before we get started, let me quickly point to our Tips for Attendees widget, which you should see on your console. It's the blue one with the wrench on it. If you missed the Tech Tips video that played leading up to the webinar, you can always click on this widget for more information. So here today, to lead us through the next 40 minutes or so before we take questions, we have Marco Bohr, Vice President of IT Strategies, where he focuses on product planning for graphics, transaction, and publishing printers, and emerging industrial digital printing applications such as label printing, packaging printing, and other non-document applications. Marco is recognized as a trusted consultant to the digital printing industry. He has a reputation for being able to put very complex information and concepts into a context that can be easily understood by his audience. For this reason, he'll be leading today's webinar, and he's also the conference chair of our October event, the Digital Book Printing Conference. Marco has more than 22 years of experience in advising and guiding senior executives of Fortune 1000 and smaller innovative companies to successful business solutions in emerging digital printing markets. He's developed an extensive network of industry contacts in both the printing and investor community. During his tenure in the industry, he has concentrated on researching applications and sizing markets for inkjet and laser printing technology, and he's been a proponent for the use of digital color printing in business and industrial applications. So with that, I want to thank Marco for joining us, and at this point, turn the webinar over to him. Marco?
All right. Thank you very much, Matt. So good afternoon, good morning to you all. In the next 40 minutes, as Matt said, I'll try to give you an overview of the digital book printing market and the status of where that market actually resides today. A little background on IT Strategies. My company does research and analysis on trends in digital book printing. We look at mainly inkjet markets, not just for book printing, but also other production print markets like transaction statements, direct mail. We look at digital textile printing using inkjet technology, ceramic tile printing, you name it. At the end of it all, we talk to hundreds of users, and by users we mean companies that actually print throughout the world, both in the U.S., Europe, Asia, et cetera. And so I think after 20-plus years of doing this, we get a pretty good overview of what's working, what's not, and what's real, and where the problems reside. So let's start with the fundamental concern we have in the book market. And that resides around not technology, but rather business model problems. So if you look at the trends, and we've all seen them, of what's happening to the number of titles published, it's growing exponentially. partially because of self-publishing, partially because it's getting easier to publish. There's more ways of doing it at ever lower sort of cost of doing business. The problem is the traditional business model of book printing is getting squeezed. And the business problem is such that if you take a very simplistic model here, as shown on this graph, and so what we've got here is an assumption of number of titles printed per year on the bottom axis, and the number of copies of books printed at a flat $5,000 per title, or 5,000 units per title. What you get is that if you print 50 titles a year, there's a number of books that are printed and sold and a number of books that are printed and returned. The red is the returns. And so as you go out, you can see that in a very simplistic way, as you move from 50 books a year to 1,000 titles a year, rather, what you get is a loss ultimately, you know, upwards of millions of dollars. Now, that's always been built into the cost of doing business. And even today, and I have to take, you know, the industry statistics word at it, but apparently north of 25% of books are still returned. So that consignment business model just doesn't work in today's economy anymore, particularly as that frequency of titles per year continues to increase. So somehow we've got to find a way to free up that locked up capital that's now going to waste to these books that are all returned. And so the big question is, you know, who takes the hit on those returns? Traditionally, it's been the publisher. And what the publisher does is he goes to the book manufacturer and says, you know, I've got to become more cost efficient. You need to print those books at ever lower cost. And we've reached a stage now through basically automation, inline production, et cetera, where the cost of printing books, you know, can be as low as $3 or so. But that has come at a trade-off of having less and less flexibility. So in other words, yes, that works fine for run lengths upwards of, you know, 3,000 copies of books or more. But as you go to these smaller run lengths at ever-increasing title frequency, that becomes a real problem. And so the large book manufacturers, and you know who they are, they realized that early on, and they've invested heavily in digital print. And if you go back something like 7-10 years ago, many of those adopted toner-based continuous feed printers. But it turns out that even those units, frankly, weren't productive enough in many cases to get through the volumes that these book manufacturers were producing. And so enter in 2007 or so inkjet technology, continuous feed inkjet technology. That all of a sudden provided upwards of 5 to 10 times more productivity, and that really started to change the game. So toner continues to exist, and in fact, if you look at sheet-fed toner machines, that category might even be making a big resurgence as you get into more frequency number title issues. But at the moment, the focus, you know, for the last 3-4 years has been mainly on inkjet. So you look at that market and say, well, you know, I've heard a lot about digital printing, whether it's toner or inkjet, but frankly, it doesn't really matter. And if you look at the numbers of the number of pages printed, the top bar here, the gray bar, is offset print, and that's in billions of pages, although the axis doesn't show it for some reason. But anyway, the number of offset pages printed continues to go down, we believe, on average, something like 2 to 3% a year as the number of books that are purchased continues to go down. By the way, there was, of course, an early assumption that the reason it was going down because everything was shifting to electronic books. And while that may have been true to a certain degree, we believe that the pressure, or at least the growth of digital or rather electronic books, e-readers, frankly, has flattened out. And if you look at it on a worldwide basis, you'll see that in European countries, the adoption of electronic books is also very, very low. In Germany, for example, it's hovering around 3%, whereas in North America, we're now upwards of about 25 to 30%, depending on which category of books you're talking about. So then if you look at digital print, that is the green and the blue line there, what you'll see is toner has been growing at around 4% a year. And by the way, that's mostly monochrome toner, but there's a little bit of color in there. And then inkjet's been growing at about 27% a year. So these are big growth numbers, particularly in a market that I've just told you is effectively in decline, at least for printer pages. And what that does is mathematically, if you look back to 2008, something like 1.5% of all book pages worldwide were printed digitally. We believe right about now it's somewhere around 5%. And as you project that forward based upon the growth rate shown, in the next 3 years, something like 10% of all book pages will be digitally printed. Now that becomes a compelling amount of volume. And what that really tells you is that issues relating to print quality and the likes, particularly for monochrome, frankly, aren't really the issue that we thought it might be. So in other words, it's become commonly accepted. And what you'll find over time, too, if you think about color, right, and you think about television advertising, it used to be that when you had three main national channels, a color ad was absolutely beautiful and it cost millions of dollars to produce. Today, with, I don't know, 500-plus cable channels, with the local, you know, Oriental rug merchant hawking his rugs, the quality of these ads, frankly, is not very good, but we've come to accept them. I'm not saying that people will accept lower quality on digital print, but what I am saying is that over time, the user expectation of what, you know, is acceptable quality at a given price, that measurement actually does change over time. And so while, you know, many book print manufacturers might disagree and say, oh, no, we have to have the best quality in the world because that's what we're measured on, frankly, quality sort of normalizes over a certain amount of time and people, you know, change their opinion on what's needed. Anyway, so digital printing is coming in very quickly. Even though it doesn't seem like it, the compound annual growth rate makes a huge difference over time. Now, you look at all this and say, well, those pages, where are they all coming from, and what will they be printed on? Well, if you look at the bet that people are making on inkjet printing, the green bar is called offset replacement. That is effectively the entry of inkjet printed book pages. Now, it's unusual, by the way, for a digital print market to actually replace one-to-one an offset printed page. Historically, if you look at any other digital print market, it's always done something that has added value above and beyond what analog or offset technology was able to do. And so a great example is photo books, right? Up until Indigo introduced that technology, they didn't really exist. And that was an example where even today people are willing to pay upwards of $1 to $2 per page printed at a time when the actual production cost is certainly well below 10 cents a page. So, hey, that's high value. In this particular case, because most of the book pages that are printed digitally today are heavily weighted towards monochrome with very low color, inkjet technology is actually fairly close within reach, especially when you think about the frequency of plate changes and the likes, to where else the technology is. So we're making a huge bet that over time, inkjet truly will start to replace more and more offset pages. Now, why does that matter? And these are billions of pages, by the way. The reason that matters is that from a equipment manufacturer perspective, the development of these digital toner printers and digital inkjet printers is hugely expensive. There's probably not a manufacturer out there that can develop a new platform leveraging a pre-existing, you know, printhead engine technology for under, I would guess, $5 to $10 million. So the investment cost to make these new digital printing systems is absolutely enormous. And so it's a very grown-up kind of game. And in order to make these bets, you've got to have faith that all these pages will come. And so, you know, statistically looking at that, we're saying that the book printing market for digitally printed inkjet pages is going to quadruple, right, in the next 5 years. That's a big bet. Now, it's not as big a bet as it might seem, in part because, again, we've been replacing some of the monochrome toner continuous feed pages. And we've seen huge growth and adoption, particularly in North America, for educational book printing. So teachers' editions and the like. And that's been driven by the big publishers, among which are Pearson and Macmillan and others, that are getting effectively low color coverage printed teachers' editions. And they've moved in that direction because they had this big, big inventory problem. And inkjet's been able to solve that with the burst speed that people are looking for. So, again, today, that bet on digitally printed pages is really not as big of a risk as it might seem for both the book manufacturers and the equipment manufacturers. If you look at the next sort of big question that's looming over all of us, is whether or not this industry is going to migrate more and more towards centralized book manufacturing sites or decentralized. So if you step back and you look at the trends, you've noticed that, of course, that the big companies are acquiring more and more of the medium-sized companies, and there's this incredible consolidation of scale. And so that's the centralized argument. And if you look carefully at the centralized business model, we've moved really from an offline production model to a more sort of inline-driven model. And, oh, by the way, some of these book manufacturers out there now are moving to effectively customized printing systems that are upwards of 60 inches wide at 800 feet a minute. So these kinds of systems can just, you know, print more volume than any of us had ever imagined. And, again, it's a testament to the durability and the reliability of inkjet technology. And so what you get as you move more and more towards this inline environment, you get print volumes going up and the cost of a book continues to come down as you amortize more of those pages across the initial capital investment. That's fine and all. And you can take it up to a certain extent where, you know, the number of jobs printed, the run length per job, and that's the little gray box, it gets smaller and smaller, but you can gang them up, right, into nesting kind of jobs, and that's effectively what's been happening. And that works really well up to a certain extent. What we believe is probably going to happen next, and this is a cyclical thing, you know, like any trend, people move from centralized to decentralized, and it goes back and forth. We think we're probably at a stage where you're going to see more decentralized printing going to come back. And the reason for that is fairly simple. As you look at the run lengths of the number of jobs printed, the actual run length per book printed is going to compress so much, and you can see that by the very right-hand bar as illustrated in little tiny jobs, that at some point it just doesn't become cost-effective to nest all these jobs. And furthermore, if you have a centralized plant, you know, near a certain FedEx, whatever, UPS kind of facility, your shipping costs are going to start adding up. And one of the interesting things we've seen, not so much in the book printing market, but in transaction printing markets, is where there's some very highly centralized sites, the cost of shipping the paper in to that single location or maybe two locations and then shipping the printed good out, that cost is actually starting to matter. Now, of course, fuel costs have come down recently, so it's not as big a deal as it was maybe 2 years ago. But like anything, you know, the trend will probably swing back towards higher fuel costs. So net-net, ultimately, I think we're going to move more to a hub and spoke system. So, yes, centralized printing plants will continue to exist, and they're going to get ever more cost-effective for fairly large run lengths and jobs that can be nested into, you know, multiple buckets per job. But at the end of the day, decentralized printing is most likely going to make a comeback, and you'll see a mixture of both offline and inline printing in that space, and both will coexist. And the reason this will happen is because that demand challenge of more and more fragmented jobs and the pressure to continue to keep your margins up by reducing the amount of shipping costs and the likes, that's going to matter more and more. I don't know if any of you have looked carefully at Amazon's business model, but it looks like, if you just glance at the numbers, that their prime shipping model is actually a huge money drain on Amazon. In other words, the ability for them to deliver, you know, within 2 days is costing them far more than they're actually taking in that Prime membership. And so as a rich, you know, highly capitalized, publicly traded company, they're able to absorb that loss for the greater, you know, volume growth good. But at the end of the day, those shipping cost issues actually really do matter. So you will see, we believe, a trend more back towards decentralized print, while, of course, centralized continues to exist. Bottom line, the patterns of demand ultimately will be out of sync with manufacturing. So what does that mean for you? Well, if we now look at the options to deal with that fragmenting demand, there's really two ways from a book manufacturer perspective to deal with it. One is on the centralized side, you could move to what's called multi-web technology finishing equipment. There's not a lot of it out there, and I won't name any names, but the technology that is out there has been deployed successfully, where effectively you're able to take multiple webs coming off these roll-to-roll systems and merge them together and very time-efficiently finish them through a very sophisticated finishing equipment setup. So that's one trend, and again, that's where you'll see the centralized shops moving more and more towards adopting that kind of equipment. On the decentralized side, you'll probably see more cut sheet production inkjet equipment coming to market. Now, at the moment, there's not a whole lot of options out there. There's some, but I think you'll start to see the number of options growing. The first of these systems has just been deployed in North America, and I think as you head out towards Drupa 2016, which is, you know, the Olympics of our print industry, you will see more types of products like that aiming to address that cut sheet. Now, what does cut sheet inkjet technology do for you that other existing digital technology doesn't do for you? Well, first of all, remember, we started out years ago with the Docutex and the Nuveras and the like, which were really production monochrome machines, cut sheet. Then we got some color cut sheet machines, including the Indigos and Nexpresses and iGens and the like. We then moved towards continuous feed toner machines for book printing. And oh, by the way, these machines had existed since the mid-70s for transaction statement printing. And as the quality and resolution of these machines improved, they became more common in the book printing industry. Then, as I mentioned earlier, 7 years ago, we had color continuous feed inkjet systems come to market. Oh, by the way, we are, you know, of course, really mesmerized by the ability to print color because it adds value and the likes. But if you look under the covers of the actual sales of the kinds of continuous feed inkjet printers being sold, we've seen a remarkable resurgence of black-only printers. And so that's quite important because, of course, as you reduce the number of colors, you reduce the number of print heads, which means you reduce the actual capital acquisition cost. So anyway, that's a bit of a trend. And, of course, that matters, particularly as you move to more decentralized locations because at those sites you need more units, right, because there's many more decentralized and centralized locations. And then most recently, we see the color inkjet technology coming in. Again, we're early in the introduction of these machines, but what these machines will do is a number of things. They're going to open up high-volume production with frequent job changes, and that frequency is the thing that ultimately does commercial or book print manufacturers in. Because while you might have the offset technology that's completely, you know, paid off and fully amortized, the number of plate changes required as the frequency of these jobs goes up, at some point it becomes unmanageable and, frankly, you know, cost prohibitive. So we're going to replace offset print to a certain degree. We're going to replace some production cut sheet machines. By the way, some of the larger book manufacturers out there, and they might not necessarily call themselves book manufacturers, but people who sell books and the like and do some printing themselves, they are heavily vested in cut sheet toner because their typical orders, particularly ones that are invested in web-to-print type of output, their typical order might be, you know, 1 to 2 copies per book per order, and so that's really difficult to nest on a continuous feed machine. So cut sheet works really well for that. Of course, with these color inkjet machines now coming in, the running cost of inkjet compared to toner is going to be a fraction of the cost for two reasons. Number one, the productivity of these inkjet machines will be typically, you know, somewhere between 5 to 10 times more or greater than toner, so you get an economies of scale benefit. And secondly, inkjet technology is inherently a simpler technology. There's fewer moving parts, so the net effect is overall lower cost. Now, again, don't interpret that to mean that toner is going to go away. It's not. Toner coexists, and it plays a very significant role, particularly for users, right, book manufacturers that really just don't have enough volume to fill immediately, right, of these short runs. But that will affect them. So, anyway, bottom line is because we're now adding the ability to have color at relatively low premiums, that will probably open up other opportunities. So you're not going to see trade books with lots of color, of course. And, oh, by the way, inkjet technology on the whole, and there's some exceptions, aren't necessarily quite ready either to print photographic, you know, art table books and coffee table books. But with the advances that are being made in inkjet technology to be able to print on coated stocks, offset stocks, that will occur, and recently I've seen some incredible samples of catalogs and travel guides that are really indistinguishable from offset and indigo-like output. So anyway, that's the growth story on inkjet. The cost-saving perspective, of course, that's really what all of us are interested in at the end of the day, at least as an initial step. And so the way to compare the two technologies, toner versus inkjet, is to look at, you know, how many existing installations do you have of toner machines? Is that capital cost amortized? What's the maintenance cost per unit and the like? The click charges if it's black and toner versus the running cost of color inkjet, which might not be a click charge. That may be just a straight ink cost, et cetera. And what you end up getting, without putting numbers in it, is ultimately we believe we are probably at a crossover point today for cut sheet, where if you have somewhere between 5 to 7 toner machines, you start reaching the break-even point where cut sheet inkjet is going to become far more economical. And as you go out to more systems, of course, that's going to matter even more. Point being is that from both the publisher side and the book manufacturer side, keep a really strong eye out on what's going to happen in that cut sheet inkjet business, because it will matter. By the way, I noticed a question early on from somebody about, well, what about the quality, right? I mean, offset quality is the gold standard in our industry. And, you know, toner is pretty good, particularly black, right? It's dark and very opaque. Hasn't necessarily been the case with inkjet. Well, that's not quite true. I think what's happened is, particularly on black inkjet, there's been a tremendous amount of improvements on the ink technology out there. Now, it may not seem readily obvious, but if you go back to the first inkjet printers introduced back in the, you know, mid-2000s, since that time, the majority of manufacturers have gone through several revisions of that ink chemistry set, and the ink has become darker and darker. And so the quality has improved significantly to the point where last year, you know, we believe something like, I forget what the number said, but somewhere around 50 billion pages. So these are equivalent letter-size simplex pages were printed using inkjet technology. And if you add in the toner printed pages, you know, you basically double that. So bottom line is inkjet technology has been largely accepted for trade book monochrome applications, and we're on this journey to get better and better quality on the color side of things. So what does this now mean longer term? Well, the key to the future success, it's innovation. So you've noticed I've talked a lot about inkjet, and it's partially because we really like inkjet, but partially because it really, really does matter for the simple reason that it's just far more productive and I can get through a lot more capacity than toner. One of the reasons for that is, and that's basically one of these nice trivial pursuit questions, is that if you look at toner, it is limited today to a linear feet per minute throughput, somewhere around 250 feet a minute. You go any faster and it becomes really difficult to fuse because the heat, particularly on dry toner, that's required to fuse that toner onto the paper gets so intense that ultimately the paper physically catches on fire. So there's a limitations on that. And inkjet today, you know, the average system probably runs somewhere around 400 feet a minute. You have systems out there that can do 1,000 feet a minute or more. So again, that's one big issue. But the other big factor in that is width, right? So today, most toner systems are somewhere around 13 to 20 inches in width. On the inkjet side, you have, of course, 20-inch systems, but you also have wider systems, 30 inches, 40 inches, and so forth. So that gets you to that productivity. Now, having said all that, you know, if we're going to succeed, we can't just succeed on having ever more productive, lower-cost systems. We have to avoid what a dear friend of mine always called the race to the bottom, right? If we compete strictly on having ever lower cost, it's not going to end well. And so very few of those will win. You are seeing, of course, because we're in a competitive capitalistic society, some very large book manufacturers, some of them who have announced plans to acquire 20 or more of these production systems. And, you know, remind yourself these are plans. These are not actually physically installed. And they will try to fight that battle. But at the end of the day, if you're really heading into this, I think I would behoove you to look at more than just replacing what you've got. So look at new applications. One of the most, I guess, I don't know if the word is exciting unless you're a cook, but one of the most visible applications that's getting interest is the cookbook recipe application, where many families are looking at their historical recipes and they want to capture those before they get lost, you know, as the generations move on. And so the ability to offer easy-to-use software to allow any user to develop their own cookbook, that becomes more and more interesting. And, yes, you know, you can Google and there's lots of apps out there, but the fact remains is that many of the people who want to write these books need a little bit of hand-holding. And so the more you can do to help them, particularly the not-so-tech-savvy, the more you'll gain and the more that will play into the whole digital printing equation. So teach them about the opportunities. There's lots of hurdles out there. You know, for years I wondered, why doesn't somebody like a internet bookseller offer the ability to inscribe a personalized inscription to the front cover, right? I want to send you a book. And oh, by the way, sending somebody a book has huge value, right? Because if I send you a little electronic coupon for redemption on your Kindle or the like, it doesn't have the same feeling as when something arrives in the mail that's wrapped and you open it up. That's a real gift. So the ability to inscribe that, doesn't that sound interesting? But the hurdles to getting the authors to agree to allow you to actually print something on top or inside their work, et cetera, the rights negotiation, I mean, these are hugely problematic. But at some point they will get solved, and that will be a huge value. Because if you can customize a book like that with an inscription, you know, I think easily people would be willing to pay an extra dollar, $2, et cetera, to be able to do that. So keep thinking and looking for these new opportunities and the benefits that they're ultimately going to offer to customers. Another thing to keep an eye out is the ability to leverage new substrates. Of course, a book, you know, the 45-pound offset stock is the common substrate. But as you start thinking about higher value color printed books and the like, heavier stocks start to make a lot of sense. People want to pay a premium, particularly if they've written a book that has, you know, photographic images and the likes. You want to look at the ability to add more software to enable people to more automatically take those orders in, right, to have less manual touches. And finishing is a huge piece of the equation to remove labor. Note, by the way, that today most of the paper stock offerings for book printing are fairly limited. Now, the ones that are out there, particularly for certain technologies, work extremely well, and people are very happy with them. But as you start exploring the usage of new substrates, and that pertains not just to the inside of the book, but also the covers. You know, the people love to embellish the covers with UV varnish and embossing and the likes. There's lots of digital ways of doing that these days to add more value and to upcharge to your customer. But at the end of the day, while there's some really interesting substrates available, if you can't get them to your book manufacturing site when they're needed, you're unlikely to order them. And so one of the things we're seeing now is that the paper mills themselves, which have gone through a horrific attrition, right, of business loss and consolidation of mill volume and the likes, they're waking up to inkjet. They see the growth rates. They see the interest that people have in that technology, particularly to do things like book printing. And so they're working very hard to make inventory more readily available across North America when it's needed. So these are all very positive trends, and that includes some thinner substrates. Software, keep an eye on that. You know, if you're really going to make money in this business, you can't keep this on an Excel sheet anymore. You know, the frequency of jobs coming into your plant is just too difficult to manage. And so while most book printers have a very good idea what their profit is because they look at their revenue for the month minus their costs, and that's their profit, they often don't really have good insight in what the actual profit per specific job is. And that's going to matter more, particularly as you see variations of books and the likes within a job range. And then last, you know, keep focusing on operating automations, even in a decentralized environment, by paying lots of attention to finishing. And that's probably at the moment the weakest link for all of us, in that all the attention on the equipment side has been paid to, you know, making toner work better, making inkjet work better. But the finishing manufacturers have to be, you know, free agents, and they have to try to work with every piece of equipment out there. And that's not inexpensive, because as you can imagine, they probably can't afford to buy one of every digital device to qualify it. So ask lots of questions at that end. So the bottom line on book printing and digital book printing is you can expect to see a continuing decrease in printed books. You will also see more self-published books. And I don't know if you remember, but Bill Clinton said about, I think, 2 years ago, that he urged every single American to write a book about their ancestry so that the kids understand the true legacy that they're inheriting. And so with a president saying things like that, that's pretty powerful, right? Because as the baby boomers are aging out, have more time, that kind of interest is going to open up more and more. And so that results ultimately in an even larger opportunity for digital book printing than we've seen to date. So we've got more titles coming, less volume per title. We've got this compression of inventory and cycle time. And by the way, we didn't really talk much about that, but we live in this world of instant gratification. And so we're getting into the habit now. If I go online and order a book, I'm going to have it in 2 days or less. And of course, we're now seeing even same-day delivery. In Europe, depending on the density in the major city, you can have delivery within 2 hours of certain books now. And by the way, that's not Amazon. Those are localized resellers in Europe. So anyway, compression of inventory, cycle time, that's going to put more and more pressure, right, to become ever more efficient. And of course, we're going to see more and more declining run lengths and offset and overall volumes. Oh, by the way, that's going to put huge pressure upon the economies of scale. Because remember, publishers have been pushing these book manufacturers for years to get the ever lower and lower cost per book printed. And so as those volumes and the economies of scale disappear in terms of buying paper, and oh, by the way, paper cost is probably, you know, depending on the run length and all that, maybe upwards of 50% of creating a book, the total cost of print is going to go up. It's probably not going to go down at this point. But again, if you can remove the inventory inefficiencies, that will make more than enough up for that rising print cost. And the net result is that the overall business is going to become significantly more profitable. because if you look at the weak link, right, it's all in that inventory return. So the opportunity for digitally printed books is very, very strong. The economic incentives, you know, the broken business model, if you will, really is going to drive that forward. So I'll end with a last quote, and it's one of my favorite race car drivers. So if things seem under control, you're just not going fast enough. And I think that's something that's happening now very dramatically in both the publishing industry and the book manufacturing industry. So with that, let me take some questions and see if I can answer those.
Thank you, Marco. That was great. You know, I learned something new about you every time we talk. I had no idea you are an auto racing fan. Very interesting. So we've had a number of questions come in, and folks, if you've not entered a question, now would be the time. Let's give Marco a second to have a sip of water and to take a deep breath, and I will sort through some of the questions that have come in already. Marco, you mentioned late in your presentation that paper mills are quote, waking up to inkjet. We did get a question from someone about whether you're currently or whether you're aware currently of any ultra-thin options, ultra-thin paper options that are now available or that will become available in the near future.
So there are a few available. Of course, they've been in existence for toner-based systems for quite some time. And there are certain roll-fed toner systems that handle these, what I would call Bible stocks, extremely well. On the inkjet side, it's a little bit more difficult, of course, because you're effectively putting down something like 90% water and then additives and colorant, and that water has to go somewhere. And because virtually every single book out there is duplex printed or perfected, as you might say in the offset world, that becomes a bit more of a challenge. Now we can deal with that by putting special coatings on there, and those coatings are most cost-effectively really put on at the mill level rather than at the printer level. So it's a bit early, to be honest. I think if you contacted me offline, I could probably put you in touch with some of the paper mills that have done a little bit more work in that area. But I think that you really need to test this before, you know, personally, before you say, you know, whether or not that's acceptable or not in terms of print quality.
Okay. A number of folks have touched upon a similar question, which is, how long do you project it'll be before we can expect the quality of digital color printing on coated stock to approach that of offset printed color on coated stock?
Well, it's a continuum, right? So I always joke with people that our forecasts are always right. It's the year that's off. And so if you think about the quality that you get from a proofing, inkjet proofing system, right, it's better than offset in many regards. And so the trick is, can they get there at the speeds, right, that we need them to get it? And I will tell you, there's a system I saw recently that's printing at somewhere around 100, 150 feet a minute, with quality that I believe rivals products like the HP Indigo 10,000. Now, the trade-off, of course, is that these systems work a little bit differently. They need to put down a pre-coat to be able to hold those droplets steady and allow, you know, the right amount of docking and dwell time. Sometimes they are over-coated, right, with a UV inkjet varnish to make the colors pop a little bit more. You know, there's a customer or a site in Europe that is printing museum-quality books using inkjet technology, and I think their success has been phenomenal. And you know, Europe is notorious for demanding really high quality, so it is possible. But we're very early in that, right? There's not many systems out there yet, but it will grow, and I think we will reach a level within the next, you know, 5 years where it becomes commonplace.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about the finishing side of things, particularly as inkjet presses are getting faster? How are the finishing folks keeping up?
That is the most fragmented, you know, part of the equation. We sort of joke that finishing is really an island of automation, right? It's not connected necessarily to all the front-end stuff. But of course, we want it to be connected. So the challenge is it's almost like this religious argument. Do you want to finish inline and get you the most productivity possible, or do you want the most flexibility by finishing nearline or offline? At the moment, there's no single answer, I believe. I think for the very large book manufacturers, they're going to want to prefer to do inline. And you know, you see very productive systems, particularly these multi-web systems and the like, that are going to address their needs. My recommendation to you would be is if you're looking at an inkjet system, ask that particular inkjet manufacturer what they would recommend they know works well with their particular system. And then I would take it one step further and ask for a reference of somebody who's actually deployed it and see what they tell you. And you know, nothing in life is ever perfect, but those would be the steps I'd take.
Okay. And we have time for one or two more. Marco, is POD becoming accepted by bookstores and by major book reviewers?
That's an interesting question because, you know, do the bookstores actually really look at quality? My guess is probably not. And the same with reviewers, unless it's a very expensive book, right, that sells north of $60 or more, photo books, art books, et cetera. But for monochrome trade books, I don't think it's an issue. Given the amount of pages that have been printed cumulatively on both toner and production inkjet, right, so we're looking now last year in a single year, 5% of all book pages printed are digital. I really don't think that's an issue for the majority of book reviewers and retail stores out there. What they want is they want access to that book now. They don't want to wait for it, and they want to get it at the lowest cost possible, including the reduction of that inventory waste.
Okay. Now, you've talked specifically about certain types of books and the implications as it relates to digital photo books, arts, crafts. What about sizes, like non-traditional book sizes? How does that play into this?
So non-traditional book sizes tend to be the high-value books, right? And so the issue that we've seen relating to those is not so much the sheet size of the inside pages. It really relates more to the covers. And so most covers today are printed because of the quality demands, either on offset or digital toner printing systems. And most of the digital toner printing systems out there were limited to somewhere around 13 by 19 inches, maybe 14 by 26, depending on the brand. And that indeed could be a significant hurdle. Of course, there's some newer liquid toner systems out there that can print 20 by 29 inch, and they solve that very nicely. What we're finding is that not everybody wants to invest in such a system because, you know, you're talking multi-million dollar investments in that kind of size. But there's a tremendous amount of wholesaling going on where if you know a nearby location that has one of these machines, you'd have them print your covers and you just print the insides and then end up perfecting and binding it internally.
Okay. Well, I think that's probably a good place to wrap it up. I want to, Marco, first thank you for your participation today. This was a wealth of information in a short amount of time. And on behalf of Book Business and Printing Impressions Magazine, I want to thank everybody. We had more than 400 people register for today's event, so clearly this is a subject that continues to need more exploration. So we'll be presenting parts 2 and 3 of the Digital Book Printing Series webinar series. Later in the summer, coming up in August and September, so be on the lookout for those promotions. Lastly, if you would, take just one quick moment to fill out a brief feedback survey that's going to appear on your screen next. We'd be very grateful. This kind of feedback helps influence the webinars that we bring to you in the future. So again, Marco, thank you very much for your time. Attendees, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to seeing the rest of you or all of you at our next webinar. Take care.